Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues. Commercial or pleasure, boat and crew, Petersburg Insurance, offering asset protection on the water or at home.
Assembly meeting, December 4th, 2017. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Brandy?
Here.
Eric?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Kurt?
Present.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Okay, we have a full assembly today with member Walhooter calling in. It's now time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, next item on the agenda today is approval of previous minutes. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the meeting on November 6th, 2017. This was an appeal hearing.
So moved. I'll second that.
Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Brawl to adopt those minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Next item on the agenda is regular meeting minutes from November 6th, 2017. I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes as presented.
So moved.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Morrell. All those in of the support of the minutes from November 6th meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, those meeting minutes are accepted as well. Item four is amendment and approval of today's meeting agenda. Entertain a motion to approve today's meeting agenda as presented or amended if necessary.
I'll move to.
Need a motion to approve that.
Approve the agenda.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Morrell, seconded by Member Stanton Greger to approve today's meeting agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we'll move forward with it as presented. Next item is five, public hearings. There's none listed. Bid awards. Award of the Petersburg Community Center Swimming Pool Lighting Replacement Project. Parks and Recreation Director Thornburg and Public Works Director Hagerman recommend award of the Swimming Pool Lighting Replacement Project to Sitka Electric Incorporated as the highest-ranked proposer and request Assembly approval to commence negotiations to execute a contract for the project. I'd entertain a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Second.
A motion has been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Morrell to move forward with this project. And the way I understand it, this will be Carl, Mr. Hagerman, and Ms. Thornburg will work with Sitka Electric and come up with a contract, and then you'll come back to us, and then we'll approve the dollar amount and so forth. Is that right? That's
yes, Mr. Mayor, that's correct.
Any time frame on that, Mr. Hagerman, you think?
No, not at this time.
Okay, thanks. We'll move forward. Okay, I'll call a roll call vote, please.
Yes. Nancy?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Okay, that passes unanimously. We'll move forward with new lights. Hopefully that comes together soon. Next item on the agenda is visitors' views related to items on today's agenda. Anybody in the audience want to speak to those? Come forward to the podium, please. State your name and who you represent.
My name is Bob Lynn, and for the record, my last name is spelled L-Y-N-N. As compared to what I've seen recently in documents. I want to talk about two different items. One's Papke's Landing, and one is the my experience related to SEPA. First one I want to talk about, as I say, is Papke's Landing. I want to thank Member Mucci for putting the issue of Papke's Landing, ramp, and parking lot on the agenda. When you begin to understand the parts of the issue related to Papke's, land ownership, use, cost, state involvement, liability, etc. It rapidly becomes mind-boggling. But we have to begin somewhere to untangle that. Opening negotiations with the Alaska Department of Natural Resources is a good starting point, and I support the action. I would also hope initially the Assembly not put any restrictions on the manager in those first opening discussions. Associated with that, if the Assembly will remember, about 9 months ago, I was contacted by at least a dozen people talking about PAPKIs. The concerns were related to the all the junk cars out there, the cars in the parking lot with flat tires, the people who want to tie their boats up on the dock and leave them there as their own personal moorage, and all the trash that was around there. After talking with them, obviously the borough has no responsibility there. But I did come forward and ask the Assembly at the time if it would be all right to write a letter to the state asking for their help to take care of some of the problems out there. With the clerk's help, that letter was drafted. The Assembly approved that letter, and it was sent. To my knowledge, there's been no response from the state, one. And two, I don't know if we've ever done a follow-up. With that said, I would hope that we could add that particular item to those discussions if it passes. But even if it doesn't, I still think it's worth following up on because it is a problem. The request, this request also raises to me a much larger issue that will at some point need to be addressed. The borough just acquired several boat launch ramps and sites when the governor signed the Petersburg Lands Bill. Those facilities will require maintenance, policing, and cleanup. How do we pay for it? I would suggest a borough-wide user launch ramp fee of at least $100 to $200 a year. This would be supplemented with a portion of the bed tax funds since recreation use is the driving force. The borough also needs to look at alternative ways to clean up and policing of these sites. We don't need full-time people since several of these sites are closed to the winter. For example, we can borrow a page from other agencies who have similar problems and use those ideas to manage ours. I'm sure that the local people who use Papke's Landing would tell the Assembly that the float would be their number one, most critical, highest priority. Will be non-existent soon and shut down. I commend our local ADOT personnel for all the work they've done to keep it in service. More than a year ago, prior to the mayor and myself going to Juneau to lobby for some of our projects, I asked an open meeting to schedule a meeting with ADOT to see if there might be a way that we could reopen the dialogue to fix those docks. The Assembly concurred, but the meeting was never scheduled, and to my knowledge, the follow-up has never been attempted. This item to me is the most time-sensitive. I ask that this be placed as a high priority for the borough to follow up on. Thank you on that item, and I'll answer any questions you might have on it.
So, Member Stan Gregor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Bob, you'd mentioned in terms of getting back together with the state, putting no restrictions on the manager for those negotiations. Could you elaborate on that, please?
At this point in time, rather than to say that we go forward and we say the manager can only do it if we get money with it or put any other restrictions that would automatically just cut it off, I think we need to leave it open-ended.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Any other questions of Mr. Lynn? Okay. Bob, you have one more item you want to talk to?
Yes, I'd like to talk about my experience. So that I'm clear and don't miss any pertinent experience, I will read a brief overview of my qualifications to be the borough's representative on the CEPA board. I have a reasonable resume of experience with Trans Mountain water diversions, hydroelectric projects, dam engineering, electrical transmission, agency coordination, and regulatory policy. I started my career as a practicing hydrologist, gaining significant experience. participating on several teams made up of local, state, and federal engineers and hydrologists that examined the cause of several dam failures, including one mine tailing dam failure, and participating on a Federal Energy Regulatory Agency team that reserved potential hydroelectric sites for the federal government, and participating as part of a group that reviewed the engineering design, flow calculations, turbine and transmission line designs for a controversial hydroelectric project. Fast forwarding in my career, I've later headed the review of projects that would move up to 300,000 acre feet of water annually, 30 miles from the west slope of Colorado to Colorado Springs, and that I examined the reasons on another a project for king salmon population failures and decline on the South Fork of the Salmon River, and later testified on those findings before the House Natural Resources Subcommittee. Locally, as a former Tongass National Forest supervisor, I selected the personnel, set the team objectives, and ultimately approved several of the existing transmission lines that are currently used by SEPA and the former Thomas Bay Power Authority. I have followed the actions of the SEPA before and while on the assembly, so I am not without some firsthand knowledge. Last, I would like to leave you with a thought. I believe strongly in diversity of thought, experience, and education. Rotating personnel on boards, commissions, and committees strengthens our borough in a number of ways. First, it provides a pool of people who are advocates for that particular use. Second, having more people with knowledge, experience, and diversity of thought will make for better decisions, particularly when controversy arises. Last, it provides a checks and balances on decisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lynn. Any questions? Okay, are you hearing all this well, Kurt?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
thank you, Mark.
Perfect. Okay, any other people in the audience that would like to express views related to today's agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to visitors' views unrelated to topics on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to any views unrelated to today's agenda?
For the record, my name is Mike Bangs. I've lived here in Petersburg for 30-plus years, and the issue that I'd like to bring to the assemblies maybe in the future is just a way that we can get more people to sign up for boards and committees. It seems like we're always running shy. And I was thinking that maybe we could redo the charter so that it allow individuals to be on more than one board at a time, just the way that we could possibly fill more seats. I don't know what it all entails, but if you are on the hospital board, planning and zoning, and there's the school board, I think you can't serve on any other boards. And I think in a town this size, we would realize if there's a conflict of interest, just because everybody knows everybody's business, basically. So anyway, I just thought I'd bring this to the assembly's attention, and maybe that would help us, get the seats filled on these boards. And I don't think, you know, if you're on the hospital board, you're not going to have a conflict of interest with the Parks and Rec or the Harbor Board. I just don't see a conflict. And if there is, then you just conflict out. Anyway, I just was wondering if the assembly would consider that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Banks. Any other visitors in the audience today that would like to speak with views unrelated to today's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on. Board, commission, and committee reports, none listed under item 9. Consent agenda, we have a couple of issues. First one is a GCI land lease renewal, and the second one is approval of the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce 2018 State of Alaska Gaming Permit application. If there's no opposition, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve both items on the consent agenda with one vote.
So moved.
Second.
OK, Okay. Motion's been made by Member Stanton-Greger, seconded by Member Strand, to approve both items on today's consent agenda. Let's do a roll call vote, please, Debbie.
Certainly. Nancy?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Okay, that consent agenda item passed unanimously. Report of other officers. First there is the mayor's report. It's fairly short. The borough is seeking letters of interest. The Petersburg Borough is seeking letters of interest from qualified borough residents to serve our community by filling a vacant board or commission seat. Borough residents appointed to the following seats will serve until October 2018, the municipal election. One seat on the hospital board, public safety advisory board. There's two vacant seats. In addition, the historic preservation committee has two vacant seats, one for an archaeologist or at-large member with a term ending 12/31/2017. One for an assembly member representative with a term ending 12/31/2019. Letters of interest for any of these above positions can be mailed to the borough clerk at Box 329, Petersburg, or via email to dthompson@petersburgak.gov or by dropping them off at the municipal building on Main Street. Next item is, and the mayor's report is Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association Board of Directors. At the last meeting, I expressed interest to be on that board, and I got a call from a fisherman that's on that board, and this is for a person from the municipality that is not a commercial fisherman. They already have four gillnetters, four trollers, four seiners, so if they got a person from an assembly, say myself, that I was interested, then that's a fifth gillnet seat because I have a gillnet permit. So anyway, that... they extended their application period till December 12, 2017. So if there's any other assembly members that are interested, now's a good time to raise your hand. Member Morrell is interested. Does that sound like a good appointment from the assembly? Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Nodding heads and ayes, so okay. Mm-hmm. Debbie, will you send that to Sarah?
I will. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And that is it for the mayor's report, and that brings us to the manager's report. So, Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Planning Commission is nearly complete with their preliminary review of the zoning and subdivision code revision. They're also working on a public hearing and review schedule to get that out in front of everyone. Liz worked to develop a Planning Commissioner's Handbook. This is a document that provides an overview of the role and responsibilities of the Planning Commission, types of decisions the Commission makes, legal issues such as open meetings and ex parte communication, conduct of public hearings, need for findings of fact and glossary of terms, etc. P&Z approved that handbook at their last meeting. Matt Briner, I just wanted to big thank you to him. He's done a spectacular job at the library's Christmas lights as well as our tree. Thanks to everyone in the community that was involved and the borough that was involved in the tree decorations and the tree lighting itself. Our E-rate funding for the current year has been approved. This is a federal subsidy which pays for 80% of the library's internet cost and 40% of their telephone costs. The library has also applied to the state Alaska State Library for an intern for next summer. Five students finished the emergency trauma technician course, passed the written and practical testing, and are now certified. Congratulations to all of them. One person also recertified. Breakfast with Santa will be Saturday, December 16th at 9 a.m. We did do some light replacement at the pool. We ordered a boom lift from Alaska Fiber to replace the lights in the Aquatic Center that were out. Ira was able to replace the lights on the east side. However, not all the light fixtures work. Overall, it's a little bit brighter down there, and hopefully that'll be enough until we can get the project scheduled and new fixtures. We had five confirmed resident cases of influenza at assisted living. No fevers for 3 days. Everybody's on the mend. Reminder to the public not to visit up there if you have a fever or a cough. Sanitize your hands upon arrival and before leaving. Keep our residents up there healthy. annual Rotary Party for assisted living. It was postponed to December 17th due to the flu. Winter is here. The police are responding to many weather-related complaints. Hopefully this week will help a little bit of that. But the public is reminded to be cautious and careful when driving or walking on icy surfaces and to be conscientious when parking. Vehicles have been ticketed and or impounded for hindering snow removal. Hindering snow removal at the airport has also been a repeated concern for some of my borough staff who didn't know that. Senate Bill 54 was signed by the governor with provisions going into effect on the 27th of November. The bill makes several adjustments to the Crime Reform Bill, SB 91. Updates have been provided by the Department of Law and forwarded to employees in the police department. Public should expect more evening traffic enforcement and bar checks as we head into the holiday season. We would appreciate everyone celebrating safely. Thanks to the Cub Scouts who came and toured the police building on the 27th of November. And the 350 generator set startup is still scheduled for the week of December 11th as that gets finished up. Scott, is that still a good date?
Yeah.
Thank you. Staff from several different departments recently sat in on a presentation from Ferguson, which is a utility supply company, regarding automatic meter reading technology, something we've looked at before. Would make it a whole lot easier, particularly in the harbor, to get automatic reading without having to send people out to each individual stall. It's expensive and probably not in our budget at the moment, but we need to know more about it. Carl is monitoring the recycled commodity pricing as the Chinese policy decision starts to affect the recycling markets. Prices are dropping, but not to the point of mandating any changes to our local program yet. If prices become more volatile and drop significantly, changes to exclude mixed paper and plastics number 3 through 7 from Petersburg's program may have to take place on very short notice. Representatives from Heil and Bob Services visited Petersburg on the 27th of November to provide a checkup on our newest garbage recycle truck, as well as to provide some training to our mechanics. We're having a kind of intermittent problem on the grader related to the snow wing. Staff's working hard to find out what the problem is. The grader is still able to plow its routes, but isn't as efficient without the reliable use of the wing. We have executed the contract with EPC for the Icicle Food Switch project. Preliminary drawings of the work are, I believe, in hand. And the plan is, as you heard, scheduled to commence on the 5th and conclude on 9th through the 11th. We've got a one-day street closure planned for December 5th to trench across 1st Street for conduit installation. The outage for the work will take place on Friday evening, December 8th, starting at 6:30 p.m. and may take up to 6 hours to complete the swap over to the new equipment. The only customers affected by the outage will be PFI, the trading union, and the wastewater pump station at PFI. Contractor will be well prepared for the outage and make it as short as possible. And the remodel project for Power and Light is moving along. The contractor will be forming and pouring retaining walls in the parking area and the subgrade foundation wall in front of the building kind of this past week and into this week. The electrical and lights in the upstairs offices have all been demolished and pulled out. So that's it.
Thank you, Steve. Any questions of the manager on his report? Member yes. Castro.
Yeah, Steve, I was wondering when we might be able to look forward to the upgraded intersection here at Haugen and Main Street here. Is that right around the corner?
Well, once the building remodel is complete,
okay.
The corner will be basically they're glassing that in.
Hmm.
So what it amounts to is we'll still have the building there, but you'll be able to see through it. So the idea behind it was just enough of a setback in the building and going to a glass kind of entryway there would allow better sight vision, both coming and going from all directions in that intersection. I think we'll probably see that towards the end of the project, but I don't know exactly their timing.
Okay. Thank you.
Member Mutual.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. Hey, Steve, regarding the presentation from Ferguson, is that something, and I probably asked this before, but the remote reading of the meters, is that something that can be incorporated borough-wide?
Yes. It's one of the things. That's actually what we're considering doing. Mm-hmm. It's not just in the harbor, but
yep.
Some of it is us understanding enough about the technology. There's Carl and Scott, jump in if I say any of this wrong, okay? There's two kind of primary ways to do this. One is a setup where you have transceivers in a vehicle that you drive in front of someone's house and it picks up stuff.
Yep.
And so you still have to drive around. The other is auto read in the sense that you have transceivers on, you know, usually towers of some sort, and constantly reads. So in that case, you just, when they're ready to close out the bills or get a reading, you just press a button and it pulls in the data. Technology keeps changing, as you can imagine, and some of it is us trying to figure out what would work here. For example, does tree cover affect the ability of any of those things to work? It's also a problem with retrofitting our existing meters, meaning what will our existing meters, or does this have to be a phased-in approach as we change out meters? So the idea behind it would be, yeah, it'd be great if we could do this everywhere. There's a fairly large expense if we have to replace every meter and get the software. But we just have to kind of know more. I don't know if you guys want to add to that.
I'll just add a couple of comments. The folks that met with us up at the fire hall were very good just talking about the new technology that's available. And Steve's exactly right. There are a couple different systems you can have. The vehicle system where you drive around and it collects the data as you drive around. The fixed base system where the information comes in from the meters to an antenna and then is downloaded into the network, into Jody software. And there's a third option of where there's just a handheld like we have now on the meter reader that some wireless can actually be downloaded into that. There are lots of different options. This company is actually going to do a radio frequency propagation study for us free of charge, which is normally they don't do. But since this is a company that that we have used in the water side of the utility metering situation for a long time, and so they're going to do this study for us at no charge. They've been put on notice that, you know, once the if a final project is ever move forward by the borough, that this company will have to bid on it just like anybody, any other company that's out there. There are a number of companies that offer this service. So it's something that we're looking at. The harbor is, like Steve says, the primary focus initially, but it does have other applications, and we just need to know how expensive it's going to be, and it will be pretty expensive.
Yep.
Thank you, Steve and Carl. Any other questions?
Yeah, the other question I had, Mr. Mayor, is, you know, in regards to the switch project, when the contractors come to town, do they bring all their stuff with them, or are they renting stuff from the folks out the road, or are they borrowing equipment from the city? Or
combination of all of that, actually. In some cases, based on different projects, so I'm being real broad now, and Carl and Scott can talk about that one specifically, but we've seen contractors to come to town that rent equipment, bring their own, and or approach us about borrowing something that we may have. So I've seen combinations of all of those. Scott or Carl on this one, do we know the specifics on what they're bringing?
We're using some of our equipment, and then some of our guys are going to be running some of our equipment, you know, lifting some switches for them and stuff. But for the most part, they're going to be using a lot of our equipment.
And so why aren't those contractors renting the equipment from somebody out the road who might have equipment for rent? And if they don't have the equipment for rent out the road, is the borough charging these contractors a rental fee for using borough equipment?
Generally, we would on big projects. On this one, actually, because we're trying to keep the price down, I believe we offered up that we'd use our equipment at no charge to try to keep the cost low.
Mr. Mayor, but doesn't that kind of skew it? I mean, aren't we cutting out the local business people in town who might have equipment for rent?
This is one of the biggest challenges we have, is trying to balance some of this. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll use a kind of an unrelated topic to kind of, should the borough spend, let's say, two or three times more for something that we could get cheaper? And so, in other words, what's the main goal? Should we be sending as much business to a local company, or should we be trying to maximize taxpayers' dollars? And by the way, this comes up back and forth all the time. I mean, something as simple as copy paper. You know, we can order it remote and get it for a third the price we can buy it locally. So what becomes the overwhelming, you know, what should we do? So here's an example, using PFI Switch Project as an example, to lower those prices so that we take less out of the power and light fund. We're using some of our equipment to make this thing happen. We could have said, no, you need to rent this stuff or bring it in, but then that adds to the price of the contract, which means ratepayers are having to pay more. I'm not really answering your question, right. Other than saying, yeah, it's a challenge.
Right. Member Mucci?
So you would think that the first step would be to see if a local outfit has the equipment that somebody could use, so that we were, we were making sure that the local economy had a chance to provide the services that an outside contractor might have. And if those folks, whether it's Tyler Rental or whatever, if they don't have the equipment, then the other option would be seeing if the city or the borough could help out. It just seems odd to me that, I mean, maybe the conversation already went on that the local company didn't have the equipment, but you would hope that that would be the first question that was asked, that if they were able to meet the needs of a contractor coming to down.
We could definitely have those kind of conversations in the future. I'm not sure to what extent it happened on this project, simply because, again, we were trying to keep the price as low as we possibly can for the ratepayers. This is, again, I mean, I'm not doing a great job explaining the dynamics here, other than just saying, I hear what you're saying, mm-hmm. and it's the challenge of how should borough staff, and in a sense it gets thrown back to the assembly, which is how should we manage borough money? Meaning, should we always be looking to low cost? I mean, our current purchasing, you know, policies and such is all about low cost. It's how do we, there is a local bidder preference that kicks in and on certain projects. I suppose we could put that in on pretty much all of our purchasing rules, but it comes into this discussion. It's like, what's the best thing? I don't have an answer for you. But we could definitely go there.
So maybe that is something we could look at in the future. And I remember early on in this, Brandy, or remember
that,
Merle?
That was, they had that in the bid that they were going to be using. Correct? All of that was in that when we voted on that they were going to be using all of that equipment that was part of it. So, you know.
You might ask some of the department heads in the back of the room, because they deal with this every day. These are tough calls, and they may be able to add to what I said.
Scott, this is the acting Power Light superintendent.
We just kind of decided when we talked to this job over. This is kind of an isolated job. It's not going to happen a lot in the future, us contracting jobs out and letting people use the equipment. In fact, this is probably the only one that I see doing this on. It's just we want to kind of get this job over with and get it out of the way so we can move on to other projects. But this seemed to be the best way to go at the time to us or me.
Carl. Carl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just another comment. Steve's exactly right. Normally, on a large project that the borough hires out in Petersburg, contractors either bring their own equipment or they do rent locally, and that recognize that that's a good thing for Petersburg to have that money come in. As Scott said, though, this is a fairly small project. We wanted to get it done in short order. The company that we're hiring is from Anchorage. They don't have equipment to bring with them. The equipment that we're offering up to get this work done is absolutely equipment that Tyler Rental could provide here locally. But we're looking at keeping the cost as low as possible and get this job done quickly.
Any other comments on this discussion? Any other questions? Thank you, Scott and Carl. Any other questions of the manager on his report? Seeing none, thank you, Steve. And we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, unfinished business. A, under unfinished business, is an ordinance for a third and final reading. This is ordinance 2017-15, an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the fiscal year 2018 budget for known changes. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this the ordinance in its third and final reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Castro, seconded by Member Strand. Discussion? Just for the people listening in the audience, this has to do with, this is the third reading, we've gone over it before, so asphalt crushing project and reduction in the police officer position will add $39,500 also to the power and light budget for superintendent recruiting costs, budget for the new generator, and we'll add $60,000 to the Power and Light headquarters building remodel contingency, and those are the guts of this ordinance. So with no discussion, will the clerk call the roll?
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2017-15 passes unanimously in its third and final reading. The next item under unfinished business is Southeast Alaska Power Agency Board of Directors. So just to give a little explanation, this has already been addressed once by the Assembly on the meeting of November 20th. The procedure we used is one that we've used in the past, and it's not proper, according to our attorney. You can't use a closed ballot, I believe, for anything except for appointing a vacant seat on the assembly. Is that
actually
right?
No, a vice mayor appointment
vice mayor
right
the
after
one.
The election.
Okay. I knew it was something along those lines. So that made that improper. And it's supposed to be an appointment of the mayor for all these non-elected positions with approval of the assembly, and that's in our charter. So in a conversation with the attorney, she said that was, you know, what we did was wrong, but we've done that practice in the past. So the clerk and I had a conversation, and we decided, Debbie and I, the clerk, decided we'd have it back on the ballot, or back on this agenda, and we would do it in an appointment and with approval by the assembly. And there was four names listed: John Jensen, myself, Bob Lynn, and Gary Morgan. Gary Morgan has withdrew his name. So there's three people. And if we would have used the proper procedure on the meeting on the 20th, I would have done the same thing I intend to do today, is to try to appoint the voting member is John Jensen and the alternate is myself. The reason I would do that, I'm not discrediting Mr. Lynn's knowledge and his abilities. It's just John's been there since before the divestiture of the Four Dam Pool and Thomas Bay Power Authority and then on SEPA. And in fact, Ketchikan Mayor Bob Weinstein appointed him to be their representative once because our two representative positions were full. This year we have two. Wrangell has, this year we only have one voting and one alternate. Wrangell has two. Next year Ketchikan will have three voting and three alternates. And then the year after that, we will have two voting and two alternates. So anyway, through this whole discussion, we decided to be on the ballot again today, on the agenda today. There was a question asked, what procedure were we going to follow? And the attorney and Debbie came up with an option or an idea, and what we'll do is the mayor will appoint a voting member, and then someone in the assembly, other than the mayor, will have to make a motion, and then we'll have to have a second, and I don't know if we'll have any discussion, but we'll vote. And we'll go down the list until we fill that position, and then we'll move on to the non-voting member. But the one thing I wanted to bring up is this proposed method by the clerk and our attorney. I think we should agree to that as an assembly, because I think the assembly should be the one that sets the policy within the guidelines presented to us by the attorney and the clerk. So it may be, and let me know if you feel that's necessary or not. If not, we'll just move forward with the proposed method.
So, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Mucci.
I have a question. You know, you mentioned that next year we have two voting.
No, next year we don't. Next year it'll go back to Ketchikan, we'll have three.
Okay.
It's divided up when they set up the rules
yep.
that each project, each dam gets two voting members and two alternates. So Ketchikan, being the only municipality hooked to Swan Lake, gets two votes every year, and every other year they get the roaming vote okay. and alternate. So
okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Next year will be the same.
Okay.
This year, the northern end, the Tai'i project has three votes and three alternates, one from Petersburg, two from Wrangell. So does everybody just do you want to approve the method presented to us, or just move forward with the – I mean, we all got the email, right? We're all mm-hmm. on the same page with that, the method that we're going to use?
Yeah, as outlined in here, then you just yeah. verbalize to all of us?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no problem with that, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, well, we'll start with the voting member. I'd like to appoint John Jensen as the voting member. So
I will make a motion to appoint John Jensen as the voting member, CEPA.
Is there a second? Okay, seeing no second, that dies. I would propose appointing myself as the voting member for CEPA.
I will make a motion to propose Mark Jensen as the voting member of CEPA.
Is there a second? Okay, no, seeing no second. That motion fails. I make a motion to appoint Bob Lynn as voting member to the CEPA board.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Stanton Greger. All those in favor, or call the roll, please, Debbie.
Yes, I will. Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
No.
Okay, Bob Lynn is the voting member, and I thank you, Bob, for putting your name in. Now we'll move on to the alternate or the non-voting member. I would like to appoint John Jensen to the alternate position for the CEPA board.
I'll move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Morrell, seconded by Member Stanton Greger, to appoint John Jensen as the alternate to the CEPA board. Any discussion on that?
Actually, I would, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Maybe we skipped over the discussion part on the first one. I feel the need to voice to the public that on November 20th, I thought, even though we went about this procedurally wrong, I think our vote should have stood as they were and gone about it in the future. And just because we voted in secret ballot like we have on many other things, I found it frustrating today that we're trying to nominate against the previously mentioned will of the assembly, but it is what it is, and the group has agreed to move forward on that. So that said, Maddox may only book into that. As I said, I'll be voting for John Jensen now as the alternative.
Okay, so will the clerk call the roll on the alternate?
Eric?
No.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jeff?
No.
Nancy?
Can I abstain?
No.
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 Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Passes.
Okay, so Bob Lynn will be the voting member and John Jensen will be the alternate. Next item under Unfinished business is C, and that's marine passenger fee. Assemblymember Mucci requests the Assembly decide if a committee should be formed to research the implementation of a marine passenger fee or if the subject should be sent to the Harbors and Ports Advisory Board for review. So we need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, and a motion's been made by Member Castro, seconded by Member Mucci, and Debbie, you could probably write how it should be stated.
Okay, I was going to say.
I guess the motion should have been, you know, verbalized what it would be, and I would.
I can handle it.
Okay, so what will it be? So we know exactly what we're voting on.
Let's say that it's a motion to decide if a committee should be formed to research the implementation of a marine passenger fee.
Does that meet your approval?
Yes, it does.
Maker of the motion? Second?
Yep.
Member Mucci?
Yep, Mr. Mayor.
Discussion?
Sure. So, you know, I brought this up several months or a couple months ago about the possibility of implementing a marine passenger fee for vessels entering the Petersburg Borough waters and using Petersburg Borough lands. Currently, we aren't charging a fee to cruise ships that come to Petersburg. Most of the communities around Southeast are. And I'm just trying to sort out how we would be part of that process and whether or not we need to have a separate committee to sort it out, or we can talk about it amongst ourselves at a work session or now, or we want to send it to the Harbor and Port Board for them to give us some recommendation. I mean, we already have a board and commission that's already in place. Maybe that's the, you know, maybe that's an alternative to look at. But I'm just trying to sort out if there's any will of the Assembly to look at this any further.
Member Castro.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I think it's an excellent idea. You know, it seems like it's fulfilled its purpose up in Juneau and other places where it's been implemented. However, if we were to pass it on to the Harbor and Ports Advisory Board, I would ask GLO if that is too much for their plate, or if there's enough ongoing that they maybe wouldn't have time to be able to research the implementation.
Well, we have the Harbor Board president sitting right here in the audience. He might be a good one to ask as well. That being said, I'm sure they would love to talk about it, but I don't know if it really belongs to them, because it seems like it's more of that, more in the taxation, and we're more about charging mooring fees, things like that. I don't, you know, it might be too big of a, if we're talking borough-wide, rather than just the harbor proper. I'm sure they'd have an opinion, but it might not be all that constructive. But you could ask Mr. Bangs.
Member Stanton Gregor, you have a...
Go ahead. Were you going to ask Bangs?
Yes.
Mr. Bangs?
Yeah, I'm interested. Thank you.
Hey, for the record, Mike Bangs. I chair the Harbor Board. And we've discussed a lot of different issues that have to do with the harbor. And I think our concern, I can't speak on behalf of the board, but I know this is the general feeling, is who would be responsible for collecting the fees. And that's where the Assembly would have to figure out a way to do that. But we're going to be meeting next week. I talked to Gloria Ann. We're going to have a meeting of the Harbor Board next week. And we would definitely put it on the agenda just to discuss it. But like I say, it's something that the borough-wide would be out of our purview as far as collecting taxes. So, anyway, that's my two cents.
Member Mucci?
Mr. Mayor, you know, I'm not concerned about who's collecting the taxes. I figured we could sort that out after we implemented this. I mean, I think there are ways to monitor who's in and out of the borough and who ties up down at the dock. I'm not trying to make more work for the finance department or the harbor department. I'm just looking at a way to capture some new revenue into the community that hasn't been looked at before. I don't think we should throw up a whole bunch of roadblocks because we've never done it before. I think we should be looking at it as a way to generate new revenue coming into the borough. And if the harbor, I understand it might not be, you know, the taxation part for the harbor, but I mean, at least as the borough assembly, we might have a work session one night just to chat about the pros and cons of this issue and to see if it's a good thing for Petersburg. I don't want the cruise ships to not come to Petersburg because of this. But as far as I can tell, talking to the people who are in the visitor industry, this is not going to dissuade people from coming to Petersburg. They love this place. They're paying a whole bunch of money to travel through the Inside Passage. They're using the Kuprinoff dock. They're going to LeConte. They're going over to Thomas Bay. They're headed over to Farragut Bay. And they go ashore. And I think the assembly and the community of Petersburg should be realizing some type of revenue from that.
Member Staten Gregor?
You're good, Mike. Thank you. Nothing else. Yeah, kind of to echo a little bit of what Member Mucci was saying. When I look at any new tax for Petersburg, I think of who is it on the backs of and who is it going to impact in terms of local business. And on this one, in my humble opinion, it kind of solved itself, I think, of Dave Berg, Viking Travel. And he came in here and was really in favor of this. Maybe I just had my own head that could negatively impact him. I didn't know. But he was very much in favor of it. My own two cents for what it's worth is, I'd be glad to have a work session or have a committee, but I'd rather just do it. Have a borough clerk get in touch with the lawyer. There's plenty of models from Juneau and other communities how to do it, and just do it. Find a number that works. Maybe work with members of the community. Maybe a committee could be useful for that of what taxable number would be reasonable, and just implement it. I think I see it as a pretty linear thing where it doesn't where it only has benefits for the community of Petersburg. But what do I know?
Member Strand?
I agree with both of them. I think if Jay's plan didn't work, then we could visit it in a work session. Mm-hmm. Might be the way to go.
I was waiting to.
I've been a comment first. Sorry. I know one. I saw her hand up. Thank you.
Fair enough.
And I don't know exactly what the basis of the lawsuit is in Juneau right now, but I know the borough of Juneau, if I'm not mistaken, has a lawsuit against them by the tourism industry just for this. So that's something that should be brought up too, and I think it's from the bigger cruise ships, but I'm not totally sure on that. So it's something the committee should be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Member Mucci?
Mr. Mayor, according to what I've been able to read in the Juneau area, they're concerned about where and how the money is spent. So if we could have the fees, it's important to refer to them as a fee, not a tax.
Mm-hmm.
So the marine passenger fee, if it came into a fund that was dedicated to helping improve the visitor industry, whether it's putting a dolphin at the end of the petrol marine dock or increasing space for the cruise ships and maybe making the dock going down to the South Harbor handicap accessible. I mean, I think that's where the issue is up in the Juneau thing. Here I think we have the opportunity to kind of craft it based on the Juneau ordinance and making it fit to us.
Okay, thank you. I'm not a member Castro.
Yeah, so on that note, that would be something that, involving the Harbor Board would be really beneficial in, is how to go about spending this money. It's less so about how to get it rolling, how to get the ball started, but more to what kind of needs does the board or does the harbor need, in order and with input from the visitor industry in order to be able to spend this money wisely so we can avoid any litigation like Juneau's going through.
Right. Member Stanton Gregor?
I was just curious what Harbor Master Wallen was waiting to say before now, if I can ask.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to recognize your nest. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I think that wonderful, and I think that I would propose that you would have a work session and invite Jody and invite Jeff Berg and the Harbor Board, because I think, you know, we would need the Harbor Board, Harbor staff would need a little bit more clear direction on what actually, how this is going to be proposed. You know, if it's more set up more like the head tax or the bed tax, then, you know, I think there's definitely some positive avenues to go about it. So I like the work session idea, and I come hear all the ideas, and we have a variety of projects that we could submit as hopefully that would be beneficial to that industry. So, yeah, work session.
So I guess the first thing we would have to do is approve forming a committee and then get the members of that committee set in place, and then have them, you know, the Harbor Board can surely address it and come up with some ideas for us, since they're planning a meeting within a week anyway. Member Merle, did you have your comment? Member Mucci, you have another comment?
So I don't really think it's necessary to form a committee. I think, like Glorianne was talking about, we could have a work session where we could invite the Harbor Board, the Harbor Master, and the Finance Director, where we could look over a draft ordinance of what our marine passenger fee would look like and where those funds would go to. I mean, I think if you get bogged down in trying to form a committee, sending out a note to the community of who wants to serve on that committee, this thing's going to get bogged down, and I'm not sure what the support is of the Assembly, but...
Excuse me, Member Mutcher. I thought the motion was made to form a committee with a second, and that's, is that how the motion was worded, Debbie? Then we need to...
It is.
Okay.
But it can be amended, of course.
Okay.
Yep.
Not trying to be a stickler, but that's what the motion was made, and that's what the discussion we've been having was on. Member Strand?
Can we form the Borough Assembly, us, into a committee for this purpose? I mean, is that included in the definition of form?
Maybe we could have a joint work session with the Harbor Board at some point and invite travel agent people and whatever. However, but just, I'm just saying this was the motion was made to form a committee. Mr. Stanton-Greger.
I have a point. Help me out here, Debbie.
Point of order?
Mm-hmm. I believe so. So for the sake of argument, let's say we wanted to strike all this at this point and make a motion to schedule a work session with the aforementioned people and members of the public, of course. How would I go about that right now?
I believe that Eric would just
rescind his motion.
Rescind his motion, yes.
I would like to rescind my motion, my initial motion.
Okay, and the seconder of the motion is okay? Okay,
yep,
so.
Absolutely.
All right, Member Stanton-Greger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that the Assembly schedule a work session with the Harbor Board, Harbor Master, Finance Director, any other relevant parties and members of the public to discuss forming a marine passenger fee for Petersburg.
Second.
Okay, the discussion on that, we've kind of discussed the topic, so... maybe as far as timing, we should just let the Harbor Board have their meeting and come up with their plan and adapt, because it's going to take a while to get this work session scheduled, I would think. Member Strand?
I think we can pass the motion and then let them have their meeting. It's going to take a while to get everything, the same while to get everything in order. I think we might as well go ahead and vote on the motion and...
I wasn't opposed to voting on the motion. I just thought, you know, let the Harbor Board go ahead with their meeting, and then we could have a meeting. You know, it might take be a couple of weeks. Member Mucci.
Right, Mr. Mayor, so the idea would be to have this topic referred to the Harbor Board so they could talk about it at their meeting next week?
Well, I believe the chairperson said they would talk. We could ask them to, you know, in our vote to talk about
it. I call for the question.
Question's been called for. Clerk, call the roll.
Brandy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, well, it sounds like we're going to have a work session at some point after the Harbor Board. try not to make things as confusing as they can be, but...
Mr. Mayor, may I?
Yes.
It'll take us some time to get the ordinance put together for you. So can we, when we get that done, can we then reach back out to the Assembly and say it's done and then start worrying about scheduling?
Have something drafted, yeah. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay. We're done with that topic. New business. First item under new business is Resolution 2017-21, a resolution adopting an alternative allocation method for fiscal year 18 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in FMA 18, Central Southeast Alaska. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Castro to adopt Resolution 2017-21. Any discussion? This is an annual thing we have to do, so, and this is just the way it's formed. So, any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt? Mark?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, resolution 2017-21 passes unanimously. Next item under new business is 17-317, approval of the fiscal year 2019 budget calendar, fiscal year 2019 budget policies, and the community service grant request questionnaire. I'd entertain a motion to approve, approve this.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made by Member Castro, seconded by Member Strand, and to adopt this budget policy. Any discussion? Member Stanton Greger.
A question for the manager or the clerk would be, looking at the calendar, I see that the first reading of the ordinance, budget ordinance is on May 1st, the last one on June 5th. I know in the past we've moved it earlier in the year, being in terms of school funding and some of the challenges we've faced with that in the past. I'm looking at Jody now. Why is tell me about the calendar. Why it is the way it is, please.
You know, we had been scheduling everything really early, but we decided to push it. We ended up pushing it back the last 2 years because we were waiting to see what the legislature was going to do with general fund funding, which is why we just pushed it back to as far as possible, just so we could get a better understanding of what the state's doing. And this is a fluid document. We could change it later on if we feel like if we get some answers for what our funding is going to be from the state. It's not set in stone, but it's just to give us a guideline of, you know, what we have to expect in the next 6 months for budget planning.
Member Stanton Greger?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's hard to budget for things when you don't know what you're starting with.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kurt? Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, the budget calendar policies and community service grant request questionnaire is approved as presented. And Member Strand, were you asking for a break?
Yes.
We will reconvene at 1:10 in 9 minutes. We'll take a break.
All right.
Mr. Haverlick to the Public Safety Advisory Board. That will require a motion and a second and a vote.
So moved. Second.
Motion's been made by Member Castro, seconded by Member Strand to appoint Mr. Haverlick to the Public Safety Advisory Board. Any discussion on the matter? Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that appointment has been made. The next item on the agenda is Assembly Member Mucci requests the Assembly decide whether to authorize the Borough Manager to begin discussions with the Department of Natural Resources regarding the possibility of obtaining the uplands and tideland properties associated with the Pappy's Landing dock, ramp, and parking lot. I'd entertain a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Stanton Greger. Discussion. Yes, Member Mucci.
Yeah, I brought this, or asked to have this on the agenda based on a couple of meetings ago. Steve mentioned to us that the Department of Natural Resources owned all the tidelands out at Pappy's and mentioned that we haven't really sent a letter recently to the DNR about this, the borough taking over those tidelands. And I was just curious if the Assembly was interested in directing the city manager to send a letter to DNR, seeing if that is or was a possibility.
Member Strand?
I still think we shouldn't do anything at all at Papke's until right, it's in us.
Microphone, Nancy.
I still think we shouldn't do anything in at Papke's until it's in a service area, either added to service area one or forming a new or a new service area being formed that includes Papke's Landing.
Any other comments before Member Mucci wants to speak again?
So Mr. Mayor, you know, the borough has already purchased uplands lease. So we've already kind of started the process unless we're going to do something different out there. But, I mean, it's not like we haven't done anything at this point. I mean, I'm just asking to see if there's any will from DNR to enter into a conversation with the borough.
Okay, Member Stanton Gregor?
No, just a point of clarification to start with from Member Mucci. They're not actually leases. We've purchased two lots for purchase on the uplands, neither here nor there. But to echo what you're saying, anything we do with those properties, all those moving parts, is going to be a really slow process, as we already know, with nothing happening quickly, efficiently, or easily. That said, as I was looking at this as an agenda item, I was trying to talk myself out of directing the borough manager to send a letter and kind of begin discussions, and I wasn't able to do so. I think on the long view, it's worth I don't see any downside to have the borough manager start those dialogues. So I'll be voting for some version of this.
Any other discussion? I don't think it's a bad idea for allowing the manager to initiate the discussion, but as soon as there's any kind of a fiscal note attached to it, the assembly needs to discuss it again, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I believe, I don't know how many years it took to get the land at Pappy's from DNR. It was decades. And when we went through the process, if I'm not mistaken, they required that the borough paid for the fees to have their staff do the work. So, and, you know, if we get, you know, so I guess, yeah, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't start the negotiations and see where it goes from there. But, you know, before it gets in any ownership or spending, then we need to readdress it. So that's my two cents.
Yep.
Any other discussion? Yep. Clerk, call the roll.
Mr. Mayor, just.
Yes.
For clarification purposes.
Sure.
We're talking about there's two separate Tidelands leases or Tidelands parcels in one Uplands parcel. That's what everybody wants.
Is there three? I believe there
Correct.
Are. Correct. I believe there is.
Uplands is kind of a parking area and an extension of that. And then the two, one Tidelands underneath the dock and one Tidelands that's from the ramp out and over.
So is the one that has a U.S. Forest Service lease attached to it, is that DNR property as well?
Yes, sir.
Mm. Member Mucci?
So, Mr. Mayor, just so we're talking about the Pappy's dock, we're talking about the boat ramp as well as the log, the area that the Forest Service is using as a way to put logs into the water.
That's what I'm asking, is the way it's, through the mayor, I'm sorry, the way it's outlined on the attached map in your package is it's three separate parcels, which is the Tidelands under the dock, the Tidelands out from the ramp and over, which currently we don't know for sure if there's a Forest Service lease or not. We'd have to confirm that, if that's still active or not. And then the Uplands, which is generally used as a parking lot and part of the access road.
So if we wanted to put numbers on them, Member Mucci, it's ATS 251, ATS 921, and lot track 8A.
Yep. So, Mr. Mayor?
Looks to me like the 8A would be part of the road, and then the other two would be the boat launch log transfer yep. facility, and then the dock float land. Steve, does that have been...
Well, that's what I'm just trying to make sure I know what I'm supposed to be writing letters about.
Yep. Is that clear in the Assembly's mind?
Yeah.
What we're asking for the manager to research?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
So when this letter or whatever gets drafted to DNR, do they respond to you that the Forest Service, that this is an active lease of that log transfer facility down there, or is it just an open-ended agreement, or do you find that stuff out in the initial letter, or is this something that happens down the road?
Okay, through the mayor, actually, I have no idea who owns what. So the letter would be an ask for information, as well as DNR has an application packet.
Yep.
I'd ask for that for the three properties involved, and plus any Tidelands, any existing leases, core permits, if appropriate. Basically, it'd be an information draw, trying to get them to send as much information to us as we possibly could. Appraisals, if they've ever had them appraised. You know, start with there and go and see what happens.
That's great.
Okay, so If no more discussion, will the clerk call the roll on letting the manager move forward with this procedure?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Nancy?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that passes 6-1 with Member Strand opposing. Communications. We had a letter from our lobbyist in Washington, D.C., Brad Gilman, at our last meeting on the 20th. He was on the radio, and we had or on the speaker, and we talked a little bit. And this is the Marine Mammal Protection Act is something that Senator Sullivan is trying to get revisited. And at this point, I don't know that we need to take any action, but at least we have a letter from the lobbyist stating how he proceeds we go forward, and one of them is involving the native groups, people that could actually harvest the otters. So I think that would be useful because I know there'll be some controversy there. Some of the native groups like to be doing the handicrafts. They don't want pelts to be, you know, able to be sold. So anyway, I guess we just keep an eye on it and see where it goes from here. Mm-hmm. So any other communications to list? Okay, seeing none. Assembly discussion items, recognitions. Are there any recognitions? Carl Hagerman.
Mr. Mayor, maybe some of the assembly members were going to mention this, but I wanted to make sure that the state championship volleyball team was mentioned today. Jamie Cabral and a team went up to Anchorage, suffered a terrible loss and losing one of their seniors during a semifinal match, came back and beat Wrangell for the state championship. So congratulations to them.
Oh, all right. Good. Congratulations. Member Stanton Greger?
I just wanted to recognize the general members of the public and Mr. Bangs, who spoke earlier, touched on that, of needing good people who are willing to put in time to our various boards where we have many vacancies, and would encourage, as always, people to please put their name in. I believe you mentioned we have vacancies still on the hospital board. This is correct?
Yes.
Really important board, really important to our community. To state the obvious, please get involved. Thank you.
Okay. Any other recognitions? Member Strand.
I would like to once again recognize the volunteer fire department. They had yet another call recently to a garage fire, I believe. Anyway, good work, folks.
Okay, any other recognitions? We'll move to the next item, online cybersecurity. Assembly Member Mucci requested this discussion item.
Mr. Mayor. I was just curious, you know, that we do have some online bill paying capabilities with the borough. And I was just curious what the borough does to make sure our credit cards that we have online or any kind of personal ID is protected. So.
Sir, I can answer this. Based on your question last week, I reached out to our IT contract people. They sent me an email. I don't speak all the IT jargon, so I'm going to read what they said and hopefully just give you a little overview. We utilize a firewall on our external internet connection that provides substantial protection from unwanted advances from the internet. All of our systems, servers, desktops, laptops have antivirus protection installed. This protection also includes suspicious behavior monitoring and web protection that blocks access to malicious websites. PCS, who is our contract IT people, actively monitors the borough network all the time. We utilize several tools for this service. Managed Workplace tracks every device, maintains full inventory, and monitors performance and security. PCS receives notice of unusual activity or system issues via monitored console and email alerting after hours. PCS also monitors the firewall and reporting on its activity and health. Group policies for security, which are a part of Microsoft Active Directory, is implemented on the borough networks. This enforces user security with access control via usernames and password. We have security separation between respective business units that only allow users access to areas they need. borough servers and user data is backed up to internet cloud resources daily via secure encrypted connections in the event information needs to be recovered. PCS applications that hold borough customer information is isolated on separate database on a separate database system, and we utilize second layer of user password protection along with role-based access to limit access to those who demonstrate business need. PCS data that is transmitted external to borough networks utilize strong encrypted SSL connections.
Did that answer your question, Member Mucci?
Just to add on to that a little bit, when we get someone secured, our credit card number, social security number, and enter it into our system, once it is inputted, we can no longer see the whole number anymore, and we don't have access to it. We can see the last four digits, and that's it. So if someone sets up a new account and they're like, yeah, I want to use the credit card on my other account, they're like, sorry, we can't. We don't know what that credit card number is. You're going to have to give it to us again. So that's my end of it.
Sounds like we have the only protection that we could get as far as.
Yeah, it's pretty thorough.
Yeah, I remember Mucci, I remember the conversation with the manager. I don't know how many, when was that last year, a couple years ago, Steve, you went to a meeting, and you could elaborate this better than me. It's not a matter of if you can get hacked, it's if they want to, what you're going to do when they hack.
And the part of the APEI, who's our insurance broker for our liability and things like that, went to one of their conferences, and they had a speaker that came in, that's what they do for a living, is to go in and evaluate, you know, internal and external security as well as help you recover. And, you know, it sounds kind of scary. I mean, his response was exactly as the mayor suggested, which is you do all the right things. That doesn't mean you can't get hacked. Yep. You know, the federal government happens to them all the time. The big issue is, can you recover from it quickly, and how expensive is that recovery going to be? And that's one of the things we focused on really big with PCS, which is the ability to back all of our information up multiple times so that in the event our system had to be basically purposely brought down, we could rebuild it fairly quickly. You know, the security, you know, from an internal perspective, you know, our employees can't get to credit card numbers and things like that. I'm never going to say that somebody, you know, some 12-year-old that couldn't figure, you know, unfortunately, hacker groups that could break in, and that's entirely possible. We're doing, in my opinion, everything we can do to make that hard, difficult, and, you know, keep it at a level that is, you know, appropriate for what we do for business here. But, again, we're set up to recover quickly if we do get brought down. And as this guy said, it's kind of not one of those questions. It's not kind of a, it's more of a when is it going to happen issue more so than anything, which is most scary for all of us. So.
Well, any other discussions on the online cybersecurity? Okay, thank you. Next item is something I asked to be on the agenda, and we kind of talked about it earlier when we were appointing the SEPA board representative and alternate. Maybe we have the confusion behind us since we, on the 20th, we used the wrong voting method, one which we were accustomed to and didn't know any better, I guess, but now that we've got that behind us, I just think to make it easier as we move forward, if we think we have to have further discussion on this or clarify an ordinance or add something to the charter so the administration doesn't get caught between assembly members and mayors going in and saying we're going to do it like this, we're going to do it like that, maybe we should have a cut-and-dried policy that's more clear in everybody's mind. That's any other input on that? Member Stanton Greger?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think, isn't that what the attorney gave us, a pretty cut-and-dried procedure of what is legal and what is not, Clerk Thompson?
Yeah, that, which is why we had the conversation for sure. But I do have an idea, Mayor Jensen, that and the Assembly, if you think this is a good one. I learned during this process that Juneau, every year after their municipal election, passes a resolution that basically outlines the duties of the assembly, the duties of the mayor, the this is how we do this, this is how we do that. And maybe something like this could be in that document so that any new assembly members would have it, and it would be a refresher for the rest of us.
That, in my mind, sounds like a good idea. It's similar to my input over the years when we have newly elected assembly members, council members in the past that hadn't been to newly elected officials training before. That's very beneficial, as Member Merle just went to, and Member Castro has done it. So it's Member Mucci.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay.
It would be helpful if we could incorporate some of the charter chapters to that.
Into this resolution?
Well, not the resolutions or whatever, the cheat sheet that you're going to put together.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it is a resolution. I mean, I stumble around trying to find my way through the charter and the ordinances on a regular basis. And if there was something that said the topics that you're talking about, and we could refer to Chapter 2, Ordinance
sure.
2.080 or something like
that. So you can go read more about it.
Yeah, that would be helpful for me because
sure.
I struggle with it on a regular basis.
You bet.
I think clarity and transparency is good. And the reason we got to this point, revisiting the SEPA board appointment today, was because on the 20th it got put on the agenda as a voting procedure instead of an appointment procedure, even with my objection. So that's why I wanted it brought back up. So clarity, if whether it's a charter, part of the charter, part of the code, and a resolution right after every election, I think that would be beneficial.
So if it sounds good to you, then I will work on this wording over the next few months and bring something to you once we have a good draft together.
Sounds like a good plan to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. On to the next item. And I asked to have this put on the agenda as well. I request this discussion item. Past practice in Petersburg was that the mayor set the meeting agenda. Assembly members and the borough manager requested approval of the mayor to place items on the agenda. It was recently learned that this practice is not standard for Robert's Rules of Order. It's not in the borough code. And it does not account for the mayor to set the agenda. The process has been amended so that assembly members and the borough manager may place items on the agenda. And I'm not so sure that we've officially voted on that to amend that, but maybe there's something we did that I can't recall. And Clerk Thompson has chosen the end of the day, the Monday prior to the assembly meeting, as the deadline to submit agenda items in order to prepare the draft agenda and publish the meeting packet with the guidelines of borough code. So that makes sense to have a lot of time.
Mayor Jensen?
Yes.
Unfortunately, I can't just demand it be Monday. The code says Wednesday noon.
I was wondering. Okay.
Yeah. Darn it. So what I propose is that I will try to stick to the code and see how it goes. And if I have problems, I will come back to you guys and ask if we can amend code.
I know
the
it's
deadline.
Very busy for you to try to get this together by Thursday at noon and have it out. And we voted on that procedure on an ordinance we just adopted here within
recently.
Last
yes,
month. Yeah.
I must have been frustrated when I wrote this. Sorry.
But we still can't get it to that Monday if we're so inclined, though, can't
it
we?
It would be wonderful, exactly. Yes. The sooner the better.
Thank you.
So if this is the procedure we want to follow, then I guess, you know, this, like, to clarify it and make it so it's not confusing. And I don't know, I mean, chairman of other boards around the state, Board of Fish, my brother John said that, and I don't know who he works with, secretary at some point, they set the agenda. So I don't know if it's just a big myth, but if, I mean, and Debbie and I were talking about this earlier, and it doesn't matter if it's anybody else's charter or not. If it's not in ours, it's not. We'll follow this procedure. So discussion, clarity, that's what we need. Member Stanton Greger.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I think this does provide, to use your words from before, transparency and clarity. I think all seven members of us and the borough manager, if any one of us has an issue we feel is important or is important to the public, it would make sense for us to be able to place it on the agenda for discussion, action, et cetera. So I like this very much.
Okay, and one other thing I would like to discuss under this topic is the borough or the borough assembly is the policy setting board. That's what we're here for, to give the manager direction and guide his staff under that. So have we taken, obviously the mayor doesn't set the agenda because it's nowhere in code. I'm good with that. That's fine. But what do we have? I mean, is there something in the code that says, and is it even necessary, that the assembly members and the borough manager may place items on the agenda? Is that something we're just going to go along with as a myth, like the
mayor sets that
the agenda, or are we going to have something written so if we get into a disagreement in the future that there's something we could go back on and say, well, it's in writing right here?
I leave that completely up to you. At this time, it is not in code, but it would be easy to add to code, whatever you guys choose to do. Or it can be a policy document in this resolution or document that we're going to present every year.
Annually, yeah. I think it should be, this is just my feeling, I think it should be somewhere in writing and agreed to by the governing body so we don't have these.
I agree. It should be in
matters, these times of confusion.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Member Mucci.
So, just to make sure I understand it, department heads can also place things on the agenda through the city manager as well as the mayor and assembly members.
Correct. Unless you choose to change that.
Right.
Well, like Mark said, it actually has never been voted on.
So we haven't believed, and it's just like it was assumed that the mayor was involved in setting the agenda, but now we've realized it isn't technically, but this isn't technically approved either.
Correct.
Another.
It's just how we started doing it.
Yeah. Another thing that I think would be important, if an assembly member brings an issue to the body, and I can't think of a example, but if it's not his, her idea, they say who they're bringing this forward from. So we know, you know, that it's from a group or from a, you know, a concerned citizen or, I mean, I think it's
like who they represent, if I'm hearing you
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. All right.
To be transparent.
That's
indeed
exactly what I'm striving for.
Nice. Nice.
Okay. Any other discussion on this item?
So, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Is this something we want to do as an action item in the future?
Well, if you guys would like to ask me to put wording in the code about how items get on the agenda, I will certainly draft something up and bring it back to you.
I think that would, in my opinion, be wise instead of waiting until next October.
Let's do it. Okay. I agree.
Because between now and then there's going to be something brought up that might, you know.
I will do that.
Thank you. Well, Member Stan Gray?
Yeah, I think that's just an important thing, something that outlives all of us on the assembly, so future assemblies have clear guidance.
Absolutely.
Like
thank you.
Okay, so we might get out here in 2 hours. entertain a motion to adjourn if there's no other discussion items.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Yeah.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.